give you the praise. We thank you that this is a day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. We thank you, Lord, for today giving us an anointing, Lord God. And we know that your anointing brings wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, we thank you that your anointing brings power, counsel, and might, discernment, and the fear of the Lord. So with that anointing, Lord, let us speak today as you would have us to speak. Lord, let us speak a word that will not just be knowledge to people, but will move to fullness of revelation. And as everyone receives it, let them fully understand with wisdom how to apply this word to their lives, that they might see your manifestation and sow into the world that you've called us into. So we give you praise for results, because you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think about, according to this mighty power that works on the inside of us, the power of your Holy Spirit. So today, Holy Spirit, we yield ourselves to you and declare we will see those things we have spoken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today, we're going to continue our series. We've been talking about the flow. And the flow is, if we kind of strip the flow down to what we're talking about here, is the flow is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the flow as an outpouring of the Holy Spirit represents the kingdom of God manifesting in our midst. So the kingdom of God manifesting in our midst, let me do something real quickly here. The kingdom of God manifesting in our midst is God actively taking his position as ruler of all. See, in the Garden of Eden, man was given authority of the garden. God created man in his own image, and God empowered the man and gave him a command to fulfill his destiny by taking dominion over the earth. Now, when he was told to take dominion, God already knew that he himself, God, had placed a serpent in the garden. The serpent did not mysteriously appear in the garden. He was in the garden, placed in the garden by God, and God creates man and tells him, have dominion over every creeping thing. Everything. So it's not a surprise to God when problems arise in our life. Because sometimes in your garden, a serpent has been placed there. You need to know the garden where you live, where you think everything's perfect. Sometimes there's a serpent right there. But don't be afraid of the serpent. Know that you have a command to take dominion over the serpent. Jesus comes back in the New Testament. Behold, I give you power over serpents and scorpions. And all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt or harm you. Amen? So know that. When you experience challenges, when you experience things in life, when things come at you, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though something strange is happening. But know that you have authority and you've been given power to overcome the enemy. So when we've been talking about the flow, we need to understand the flow does not just represent good feelings. The flow does not just represent being able to dance at church. It doesn't represent singing and lifting our hands. Those things are included. However, that's not the purpose of the flow.
Amen.
Now, let's look have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. And I want to read a couple of passages here that we've covered so far, but want to come back to this, and I want us to start looking at the whole. So far in our series, we began the series with talking about John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. And we know that that says, and we'll read it a little bit later, but it says that Jesus stood up at the end of the feast, the last day of the great feast, and said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And then the next verse he says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit that was not yet given. So he was telling people about the Holy Spirit that was not yet given to them, but God always prophesies what he's going to do before he does it. So in Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees a vision from God, and this is what he says. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. So in this vision, Ezekiel sees a temple. And remember, he's seeing prophetically what we now know commonly in the New Testament. So he sees this temple and he sees water running from under the temple. And this water starts ankle deep, waist deep, knee deep, then waist deep, and then it becomes an overflow. And the word later on in this passage, it says, wherever this river goes, it brings life. And that there are trees growing on the side of the banks of the river, and these trees bring forth fruit. Now, in the New Testament, we understand, looking back at this, that this river and this temple first represents us. If the water is flowing from under the door of the temple, it means that there's water inside the temple. So you can't have river flowing out until there's water inside. So if I have a jar or we say that somebody driving down the street, and they said there is water flowing out of the doors at 1435 Glen Street. We would assume there's a leak inside. Some water's in there somewhere for the water to be flowing out of there. So water has to first be inside before it can flow outside. Amen? Now he said he saw the temple. We know in the New Testament, we are the temple of the living God. So for water to flow out of you, water has to first flow in you. It's got to be inside before it can come outside. And a lot of Christians are low with water on the inside, trying to manifest things outside. You can't manifest outside till you get full on the inside. So truth is that when he's seeing this vision, he is seeing us in the New Testament and giving us understanding about how to walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? You can't walk in the Spirit until you get full of the Spirit. It's no jumping around it. You have to understand. You can't walk in the Spirit until you get filled with the Spirit. And we've made this filled the Spirit to be other things. Well, let's go over to John chapter 7. Let's look at our foundation passage here today. And we'll figure out how the Holy Spirit is going to work this out, because I want to hit you with something real good today. Let's go to John 7, 37 and 38. Look at our foundation scripture here. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Where is your heart? Is your heart on the outside or is your heart on the inside? See, out of your heart, out of your inner man, comes rivers of living water. Not out of your outer man. See, my gifts and talents reside on my outer man. But my heart is on the inner man. See, there's three parts of the human being. There's the physical body, there's the mind or the soul, and then there's the spirit. Spiritual gifts come out of your spirit. They don't come out of your mind. There are mental gifts. There are physical gifts. There are different types of intelligence that everybody has. 9 different forms. Those reside in your mind and in your physical body. They don't reside in your spirit. But when he's talking about out of your heart, the Greek word is your innermost man. Not the blood pump, but the innermost man, the spirit. So out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. This he said of the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, I'm going away, but it's for your benefit. Because if I don't come away, then the Spirit can't come. But when he comes, he's going to be your comforter. He's going to do other things. Amen? All right, let's go to Acts chapter 2 real quick here. We're going to hit a few scriptures before we get to the point. Acts chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. You can write these down. We have a limited amount of time because I don't want to keep y'all too long. However, I want to get through this. So write these down and we can study them when you get home. Acts 2, verses 12 through 16. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the 3rd hour or 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he says here, and this is at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the disciples have been in the upper room praying, and all of a sudden this Holy Spirit falls on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. Amen? So he says here, it says here that as the other people were watching, as they were observing, what was going on with these people who had been filled with the Spirit, their first reaction was, what is going on? What is this we're seeing? What does this mean? So they see these men who they knew had been with Jesus, who had been hiding away, all of a sudden boldly in the street, speaking with other tongues, and everybody says, what does this mean? They just drunk. See, what happens is when you start manifesting the Holy Spirit, this is what will happen. You will have people that will observe you and will say, it's a coincidence. Okay. Oh, well, it's just a natural phenomenon. This just happens when this happens. He's drunk. People will start to discredit the work of God. Because the natural man can't discern it. The natural man can't understand how you can get put in a room filled with people who are experts in their field. And you are not the expert. And supposed to be there by accident. And while you're sitting there, they're bantering about answers to a problem. And you sit there and say, I think that we should just do this. That is a good idea. Yeah. Yeah, we just got lucky. He just came in. No, I have the Holy Spirit. I have discernment. I have the anointing of God. And the anointing of God is not dancing and shaking. It is what we looked at. Remember? Where is it? I'm seeing if y'all studying your Bible. Where is it? Where is the list of the anointing is? Thank you. Isaiah 11. A spirit of wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom, counsel, might, the fear of the Lord, and discernment. That's the anointing. Nowhere in there does it say singing. Nowhere in there does it say dancing. It says the Spirit of the Lord comes and he brings these things. So if y'all wasn't studying, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Amen? The anointing of God, when he comes, he brings truth. So they are having a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. People begin to discredit it. But then Peter has to say, listen, what you guys don't understand is God prophesied about this already. God already said what's going to happen. Let's go to Acts 2. Acts 2 and 1. Let's look how this starts. All right. Acts 2 and 1 says, let me get there real quick. Acts 2 and 1. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each one. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So a couple points I want to make here. Now, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit happens here in Acts chapter 2. However, the disciples in John chapter 20 received the Holy Spirit. So Jesus walks in the room after he's been crucified. He walks into the disciples and says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. It says it blew on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now they walked away. They went to the upper room. They were praying. And while they're up there praying, all of a sudden, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. If he blew on them and they received the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, how are they not then manifesting the Holy Spirit until Acts chapter 2? Let's think about it. How come it took all that time from when they got it to everybody sees it? It's called overflow. See, what happens is sometimes God does something for you. You get a revelation. Oh, man, I know what to do. And you're excited about that revelation. But now it has to go from there to you meditating on it and getting it down in your spirit. And then after you've meditated on a while, you start to get full of that thing. And eventually when you get full of something, it's going to come out of you. But we have not always dedicated ourselves to being filled. And so we're walking around with water ankle deep. Are y'all with me? If the water's only ankle deep, it's not going to overflow. When I was a child, I had a lot of mischievous stories when I was a child. When I was a child, I wanted to see if I could find out how much water fits in the bathtub. So I got the little container, right? I got the container, but I was filling it up in the sink and putting it in the tub, but it was taking too long. So I got a better idea. I'm gonna fill the tub and then I'll take the cup and put it to the sink and pour it out. Because then I will have more time. I could fill the tub up. I don't have to be paying attention. I can let the tub fill up. Then I get my, pour it out in the sink, right? Only problem is I turned on the water. I put the stopper in. And I went on doing something. And short attention span theater. Went away. Lost attention. And next thing you know, there's water coming out of the tub. Pouring out on the floor. Okay? So all of a sudden, there's water. And the water's everywhere. And my mother sees the water. What are you doing? What's going on? Overflow. Now, every other time we filled the tub, we didn't fill it all the way up. But once it overflowed. But now once it overflows, it got people's attention. She wasn't worried about what I was doing when I was running back and forth with the cup. He's always running around doing something. She wasn't worried about that. It's not until the overflow happened that it got her attention. See, there are people watching you, and they're watching you running around, going to church, going home, going to church, going home, going to Bible study, going home. They're watching you with all this stuff. They won't have their attention grabbed until you overflow on them. When you overflow the Spirit, people will pay attention to what you're doing. When we overflow with the Spirit, people, what is going on here? So the men in Jerusalem are minding their own business. Oh, Jesus' old disciples up in that room again. They're not doing nothing. They're just up there praying, acting a fool, whatever. But all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit overflows, men and brethren, what is this we see? What is this? Peter gets up and begins preaching what was already prophesied. See, God already knows what he's doing. God already knows how he's setting things up. And when all of a sudden Peter, who denied Jesus, stands up and says, men and brethren, let me tell you what this is. He preaches and 3,000 people in one day turn to Jesus. 3,000 people in one day turn to Jesus. Why? Overflow. The manifestation of the Spirit of God is what we're after. We're after his manifestation. We're not after our own glory. We're after God being glorified. We're after moving in the Spirit. We're after seeing God do what he wants to do. We're into that. That's where our focus is. Our focus is on love, because why? Love is not just because the world needs love. Love because love is the character of God. God is love. Not because that's what people want. That's because that's what God is. Because people, you don't love me. Well, what makes you think I don't love you? Because you didn't do X, Y, Z. Well, X, Y, Z is not good for you. So no, I didn't love you like that. But I'm patient with you. I think no evil of you. Why? Now, I'm loving with the God kind of love. Man has authored love so that love is not what God says love is. If you love me, you would take me down here and buy this thing. Well, I don't have no money. That's your problem. That ain't my problem. That's your problem if you don't have money. But if you love me, you buy it. I guess I don't love you like I used to. Yeah, all right. Anyway. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Manifestation of the Spirit is what we're after. Acts 2 and 16. This is where the prophet begins to, Peter begins to explain what the prophet says. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And you shall come, and it shall come to pass in the last day, said God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. I want you to notice the wording here, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. It doesn't say he's going to pour out his Spirit. Wow. He said, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. In other words, he's pouring something into us. We know the Holy Spirit lives here, but what he's pouring in is not just his Spirit. He's pouring out of his Spirit. There are things in God's Spirit that he's pouring out to us. Amen? I have the Holy Spirit in me, but I don't know what to do with it. Well, you know what? You're going to know what to do with today. You'll know what to do with it today. I'm pouring out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what?
Prophesy.
Your young men shall what? Your old men shall what? And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall what? Everybody got something to do. Young men, old men, young men, young ladies, men servants, maid servants, everybody's getting something. Once again, when we talked about John chapter 7, God didn't pick the beautiful. He didn't pick the handsome. He didn't pick the intelligent. He didn't pick the strong. He picked the thirsty. He picked the thirsty. He picked the ones who wanted it. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. But the only ones going to receive it are the ones who are thirsty for it. If we're thirsty for the Spirit, we will receive the Spirit. But when we're not thirsty, when we're satisfied with life, when we're satisfied with things, when we're satisfied for how it's going for us, when we're satisfied with various things, we don't thirst. So what he's pointing out here is he's pouring it out on all flesh. There's no restriction on age or gender. That dreams and visions are being poured out. The ability to use gifts, as in prophesy, those things are all being poured out onto all flesh, whoever God has. Now, we're going to go real quickly to verse 21. Let's look at this. He goes through some more, says, I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. God's going to show signs and wonders as the time approaches. So in the meantime, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began speaking with other tongues. They received the Spirit. They began prophesying. They began declaring the word. And we're in that season where that's our power as well. We have the power to prophesy. We have the power to speak life. We have the power to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We have the power to let the river of God flow through us. Let's go to the next verse. I think I have 21 in there by itself. Next verse 22 says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we're right back to that whosoever will call. See, the church has become a membership group. It's kind of like American Express. You get a card, you're a member, you do whatever you want to do with your card, and then you go home and you mind your own business. You don't care how American Express does anything. You pay your bill when it comes, you leave it alone, and that's good. And that's what the church has become. The church has become, we join the church, we become a member, we do what we want to do, we come home, we pay our tithes when they ask for it, we go on about our business, and we go on. You go through the Bible, you can't find church membership. Wow. Interesting thing, huh? You can't find church membership in the Bible. What do you find? You find partnership. You find Paul telling, hey, I was at this church. You gave over here that I might give over here. And I met this need and we did this. And I was at the church over here and I was at the church over here. You find Paul talking about we're one. Yes. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're all connected. We're all part of one body. So I send a letter to the church over here and I send a letter to the church over there. And I'm encouraging you and I'm encouraging you and I'm building you up and I'm building you up. Why? Because we have one spirit that we're drinking from. And if we're not drinking from the same spirit, we have another problem. it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. If the rich call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If the poor call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If the confused call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If the intelligent call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If the beautiful call on the name of the Lord. If the people that other people think are ugly call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever. And if you can call on the name of the Lord, then you are qualified for the Holy Spirit. You're qualified to receive of His Spirit. That's why He has this at the end of this whole prophetic word about who can receive. What is this we're seeing? We're seeing the Spirit pouring out on who? Whoever will. Okay, so let's do this. I want you to understand something. Let's go to Galatians 5 and 22. Because I want you to understand that everybody's qualified to receive. I want us to make sure that we are on the same page with that. We need to really understand that everybody who calls on the name of the Lord is qualified to receive all that God has. Now, what God has done is God has allowed the Holy Spirit to do, the Father has given us the Holy Spirit to accomplish several things. And we talked about anointing. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, there's an anointing. Wherever the Holy Spirit touches someone, there's an anointing. And again, the anointing has those different aspects. But there's one anointing. There's not many different anointings. We said, I'm an anointing this. No, there's one anointing. The anointing is God's ability put on a person to accomplish a task or purpose. Amen. Now, it will show up different ways because the Holy Spirit has no limitation. So He may use me a different way and He may use you a different way, but it's the same anointing because it's not you, it's Him. Yes. See, electricity has different anointings. But there's only one electricity. It powers different things differently. You plug in your blender, it spins. You plug in your hair dryer, it blows. You plug in your refrigerator, it just chills. Whatever it is, the identity of the thing has a different manifestation. However, there's only one anointing. There's only one. There's not a whole bunch of different kinds. It's only one. Only one Spirit. Only one Holy Spirit. He's not different people. He's one Spirit. So the distinction between how He uses you and how He uses me is the uniqueness of how you are created. And that's it. So I'm not specialer. Bad word. More special. It felt wrong coming out. Right? I'm not more special than anybody else. Making up words, yeah. A special anointing. No, see, that's where it's wrong. None of us are more special than the others, having then differing gifts. Now, there are nine gifts of the Spirit, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Only one Spirit, nine gifts. Nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, sometimes people get gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit confused. Nine gifts of the Spirit. We're not talking about those today. We're talking about fruit of the Spirit. See, when something's inside of something else, there's only five ways that you can detect something's inside of something else. The first way is discernment. In other words, I look at you and I say, oh, you have the Spirit of God. The only way I know that you have the Spirit of God, because I got the Spirit of God, and I discern and I see what you have. Okay? That's way number one. It's inside you. I don't even have to see it come out of you. I can see it inside. Number two is, first is discernment. The second one is transparency. In other words, somebody sees your life and they say, that's a holy person of God. They don't feel it. They don't experience it, but they see it in you. They see through you. They say, man, this is a good person. You're transparent. They can see it. The problem is they can't feel it. The third way is breaking. When we're broken, when something happens to us, and then what's in us comes out of us. You have tragedy, you have loss, you have something that goes on in your life that people see you go through something, but they see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit as you go through. A brother was talking about me to another guy, and he said, man, that's one of the strongest guys I've ever seen. He said, because I was there when he did his mother's internment. And he said, to stand there and put your mother in the ground while you're leading the service, he said, that's strong. But it's not strong. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. But he saw that through my tragedy. He saw the strength of God in me through my trial. It's our testimony. It's what we go through that people see it and they hear it and they feel it. They don't just observe it. They feel you going through something. They feel your testimony because it touches something that they've had to face. Wow. That breaking releases the Holy Spirit. The fourth way is overflow, which is what we've been talking about. The disciples went into the upper room. They were filled with the Spirit. It overflowed and everybody saw that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel saw overflow. He saw it. The last way, well, let me say this about overflow. God uses overflow when he needs to reveal himself through us, but we're not fully mature. See, this was the early church. And so he had to pour out his Spirit so that they quickly overflowed. It was bathtub theology. I'm going to fill you up, let you overflow to get people's attention. But the fifth way is as we mature, God causes us to bear fruit. And the fruit then represents the Holy Spirit. So now let's look at Galatians. Scriptural, biblical, spiritual maturity occurs as we continue on in the things of God and we start to be changed. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So I want to stop right there. Now I want you to look very closely at the wording. But the fruits of the Spirit are. Thank you. It does not say the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. Selah. I have a piece of fruit here. The fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to the next slide. The fruit of the Spirit is red. The fruit of the Spirit has a green stem on the top. The fruit of the Spirit is heart-shaped. The fruit of the Spirit is prickly. The fruit of the Spirit is hollow in the middle. See, it's not fruits. There's one fruit. Why is that important? It's important because we need to understand there's one Holy Spirit. And there's only one fruit he produces. But that fruit has characteristics. It's not a whole bunch of different fruits. See, if you have a fruit salad, you got a bunch of different fruits, you taste them and they all taste different, and you know, maybe you got one thing in there you're allergic to, so man, I don't want, give me the one that don't have the berries in it. You can pick and choose which part of the fruit you want. But if there's only one fruit, that means you don't get to pick and choose what you bear. It means when you get it, you got the whole thing. You got the whole thing. So the fruit of the Spirit, let's go back. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, when the Holy Spirit is placed in our life, you don't have to wait 5 years to have patience. You don't have to wait 10 years to get self-control. You don't have to wait until you're almost ready to leave this world to get joy. There's one Spirit and one fruit. And when God is pouring out his Spirit, pouring out of his Spirit onto all flesh, as we mature, more of this one fruit manifests. It's red. It's got a stem on the top. Heart-shaped, prickly. One fruit. So you got the Holy Spirit, you have all these aspects because they're all part of being the Holy Spirit. Importance of this passage, and I don't have time to break it down, so I'm just going to leave it at this. The importance of this passage and why this is so important is because this conversation in the book of Galatians is about overcoming the flesh. And it's got all this list of this, all these things. And as a Christian, you can say to yourself, man, I can't overcome all this stuff. He said, but if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the fruit of the Spirit is. And when the fruit of the Spirit comes into our life, when it's allowed to fully manifest, we have Spirit and not flesh in charge. So we get the fruit. We receive it. God is doing things in our life. And what happens is the flesh is pushed out. So many people in Christianity are wrestling with different aspects of their life, trying to bring them under control, when the answer is fruit. The answer is allowing that fruit to be full in us, allowing it to fully manifest. Now, if we're cheated by the adversary and we're told that you might have joy, but you got no self-control, then you yield to no self-control and you don't stand against it. If you believe these are 9 different fruits, you say, well, I'll just figure out the ones I can. I can't manage mentally 9 fruits. I can't be walking around remembering all day, have I got this, have I got that? No, that's why he said, there's one fruit. Walk in the Spirit and this fruit will manifest in you. Walk in the Spirit and all the 9 will be what people see of you. Walk in the Spirit, and you don't have to figure out all these things. The gospel is not complicated. God makes everything simple. The fruit of the Spirit. One fruit. One fruit. Don't chase 9. Get the one. Get the one. Get the Holy Spirit. Don't get the dancing spirit. Get the Holy Spirit. Get the spirit that fills you. Get the spirit that changes you. Get the spirit that's taking the flesh and moving the flesh aside that you might live unto God. Get that one spirit. Get that one flesh. Dip into that, that God will do great and awesome things. When we do that, that is manifestation.
Wow.
See, God's going to overflow us, most definitely. We, during worship, we had an overflow in the worship. Praise God for that. Now, let's continue to grow in the faith. Let's continue to grow in our position. Let's continue to mature. Let's let the trees of God grow next to that river so that God is bringing forth fruit in its season. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to close with this. Now, the three characteristics, these ones we looked at have three basic, they're broken in three categories. Category one is having fruit toward God, love, peace, and joy. That has to do with our relationship to God. The second through is toward men. And that looks like it's shine toward men in long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. And it's shine toward our inner man in faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. So those are three faces of this one fruit. But it's all the same. If we learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if we learn to walk in the Holy Spirit, if we learn to just control ourselves by governing ourselves by the Holy Spirit, we have all of Him. Praise the Lord. So I'm not going to continue on. I want you to meditate on that and grab a hold of it. I'm going to eat that in a minute. But we'll take care of a couple of things. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the revelation of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You continue to speak to us. We thank You that You would take our hearts and allow us to embrace not many spirits, but one Holy Spirit. We thank You that as we embrace the Spirit of God and we open ourselves up to be filled to the overflow, that Lord, You will manifest Yourself in mighty ways. As You manifest Yourself and You pour out of us, we thank You also that as we mature, that we will also bear fruit. The fruit that we bear is the fruit of Your Spirit. One fruit. Healthy for the world. Strong for us. Able to accomplish exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think about. Because this fruit of the Spirit lives inside of us. We thank You that every person in this place overcomes the flesh, not by their own discipline, but by walking in the Spirit. We thank You that today is a day that You've made. We thank You for our new family members today. We thank You for the truth that You've ministered through us. And most of all, we thank You that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are able to say, You are King. Father, we bless Your name. We give You glory. We thank You that if anyone's here today that has never given their life to the Lord, Lord, that You would draw them by Your Spirit to You right now. That You would speak to them. You would call forth the life of God in them.